Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Allianz, supporting all 32 counties through the Allianz Leagues.
A grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
But come on,
Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
We're missing what the show is. Then we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Hi folks, how you all doing? 10th of May, you're very welcome along to the Irish Examiner Hurling Show in conjunction with Allianz. Great to have him on board. We're no longer the whipping boys of Munster, Mark. Don't answer that, Landers. Just don't answer, right?
Oh,
don't answer.
That was some stuff for a fella that got bit by Antrim over the weekend.
Oh, say nothing now. So we talk about it in a while. Delighted to be joined by Ballinahinch's finest All-Ireland winner, All-Star, done it all. Talking to him yesterday evening as well. We're talking every day of the week now. Shane McGrath, how are you?
Well, Dalo, how's things?
Cheers, not so bad.
I said I'd do a job like you. Like I said, I'd beat the queues there. So I know people are taking appointments this morning, but I just said I'd beat the queue and I shaved my own hair about 3 weeks ago. So there you go.
I think it suits you, kid.
Yeah, we're going the old DIY route. I thought I was looking old. The greys were coming in a bit more when it was a bit longer. So I said I'd cut both and just go for it now.
And now Flynn Kirkcaston said to me there a few years back, when it starts to go, cut it off. He says, when it starts to go, like, you know, so I stuck with that there for about the last 2 years.
That could be said for maybe relationships and lots of things in life too, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Come here, Murty Browns is reopening. Dirty dig straight away now for me. Get a plug straight away. Is reopening on the 7th of June there, outdoor. So will I book you in, Ballinahinch?
Oh, God, book us in. I'll tell you, Dale, the boys are still talking about it. And any day you get Anthony Daly singing Sleeve the Man or the Galaxy Mountain Boy is it's a sign of a good day.
I have video evidence to say I didn't get involved in Sleeve the Man. The Galaxy Mountain Boy being one of my favourite Rebel songs, I kind of did get involved, I have to say.
You gave it socks that day. I tell you, book us in for the long weekend too, if you can.
You don't mind if you're outdoor, indoor, whatever.
And anywhere at all, Dale, anywhere at all.
That's the stuff. So, obviously, we have Mark and we have TJ as well. TJ was closing a major business deal there this morning, so we're a small bit later recording, but we didn't mind that. Once the deals are done here, lads, that's crucial. TJ, how are things? Did you enjoy the golf yesterday, TJ?
I did, yeah. Just come back. I had my hair appointment. I'm a little bit different to yourselves for Wednesday morning at 11:30. So I'm probably of the philosophy I prefer to be looking at it, Dalo, than looking for it.
This is going to be no mercy today. I have a feeling there's going to be no mercy today. I need Ken Hogan or someone today to give me a break. Like,
Derek. Derek McGrath.
Larry. Yeah, can you ring Derek there? Ring Ken Hogan. I need someone handy over here. These three are going to screw us over. Lads, we're back. It was great to be back. We were waiting. And then maybe it was a bit of an anticlimax. But I thought, no, I really enjoyed yesterday's game, I have to say, in terms of the open first touch hurling and the scores and the six goals and whatever else you have. I wasn't there, obviously. I was there Saturday night. But Shane, you were there. You watched the other ones, I presume.
Yeah.
It was good open stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, like the down in Park Creed yesterday. So was Dale, or like, I suppose, the pitch was unbelievable, but sure, if you want to be unbelievable, there's nothing else going on down there, like, you know. So if pitches aren't looking right yesterday, you seriously have to question your groundsman or your ground staff. What in the name of Jesus are you doing for the last 6 months? But no, it was like you know, I suppose I know you talk about Ozzy a good bit as well, and you know, I thought he answered a lot of maybe so-called critics last year, but he really stood up from now yesterday, first game back. He looked like a fella who he put in a lot of work over the last few months, and he scored 5 points from play, but he was involved in loads of stuff. You probably seen the two sidelines, lads, did you? Like, I mean, they were just, you know, I don't know, it was like Eric Cantona stuff, like, it was just magic.
Unbelievable.
Like, just across the field, straight into the hand. Even your man, Shane McNulty, got one. I'd say he didn't know what to do. He was so far up the field, and he got a nosebleed. Yeah. He didn't know where to go for a pint or not. He stuck it over, but, you know, Bennett was brilliant as well, 112. But I suppose the killing thing for Watford, for me, lads, was the two boys scored 117 between them. Kieran Bennett popped up with 3 points from wing back. They just didn't really get anything from the rest of them. And I think that's what kind of cost them in the end, because, like, I was even looking at it, like, even in the last quarter, you know, Cork to Cork boys scored 3-4. But Watford scored 1-9, like, you know. So, you know, Watford were always in it. I thought when Shane Kingston coming on, and, like, Mark, you'd obviously know him fairly well, and, you know, Kieran as well, but he's in some shape. I think he's actually maybe got stronger and maybe even faster. I know that's maybe ridiculous to say someone in their mid-20s, but he came on yesterday. Collins poked the ball down him straight away. He won it. He went down along the sideline. He won the free. But you see that this, like, you can see that he was intent of, he was going to cause damage. And for me, he was the difference. Like, he scored the goal. He got a bit of a flake off Caelan Lyons now, right, for the second one. But he caused serious trouble. So, Cork-wise, they look good. And I tell you, I would be critical of him, Mark, but I tell you, it's the hardest I've seen a Cork team working in a long time, getting stuck in. And Tim O'Mahony, boy, he got fair stuck in there for a lot of the game. And it was great for you to see. I think it's great confidence coming to Turles next week.
Mark, are you back?
I wouldn't say we're back now, but I suppose we have a little bit of an extra pep in our step. But we've been here before, and I think Dara Fitzgibbon nailed it straight afterwards when he used the word consistency, and that's the word we have been using on the pod all last year, is the Cork's lack of consistency is what makes them so frustrating from a supporter's point of view or from a pundit's point of view, that you just don't know which Cork team are going to turn up. So I suppose there was an awful lot of questions answered yesterday, but it's still very early, Dalo, because one swallow doesn't make a summer. And I suppose, like, Kieran Kingston made big decisions in his second year in charge. And this is something I said to you last year, that I felt he should have made him last year, because he was given a 3-year stint. And I think he was given the opportunity with the likes of, I suppose, Nash and Steve McDonald, Joyce, Aidan Walsh, Conor Lahan. Those lads are no longer involved in the panel this year. And I felt that they possibly could have went last year when he started, because he has a lovely bunch of lads coming through. And the major thing I saw from yesterday's game was that Mark Coleman at 6, Dara Fitzgibbon in the middle of the field, Shane Kingston, actually, when he came on, I thought possibly it is difficult when you're a dad and your son is on the team, and whether you start them. And I said Kieran is kind of a fella that he mightn't give Shane the hop of the ball in a 50-50, but there's no question that Shane Kingston will be either playing centre forward or maybe be in the full forward line come the day of championship, I think, against Limerick. But I think we've new leaders emerging, Anthony, is what I'm really going to say to you. And I would include Patrick Collins in that, even though it was his kind of, I won't say it was his first start, because he has played a number of league matches in the past with Cork, and Cork have always played well. But Patrick is around the panel for the last 5 or 6 years, and he just needed to get a break. And when Anthony was there, and he was a very good keeper, it was very hard to get a break from the selectors to actually say, we're going to go head-to-head now with Nash and Patrick Collins. I think Collins is a very, very good keeper, and I think the defence play for him. But yesterday, the defence, I thought, as a whole, played better than I've seen in a long, long time. And, you know, I know they conceded a lot of points, but there was no real goal-scoring threat. And the goal came at the last. I was disappointed in one respect that we did concede a goal, but, that's no harm as well. But overall, Cork will be thrilled, I think, coming away from yesterday's game. And Ali, the fact that Patrick Hogan probably had 3 goal chances himself yesterday and he didn't convert any of them.
Yeah. He walked very hard, didn't he? Like, see, he was Shane alluded to there. Shane, can I just ask you one thing about on the overall thing? I thought Ozzy was excellent, and it's a great point. He didn't really play as a 14. I know, is there anyone playing as a 14 anymore? But he didn't really take on Cahillane at the edge of the square at any stage, did he?
No, I didn't know. And it's interesting, Dale, I suppose, even if you look at Jack O'Connor's goal, it was Ozzy actually, the ball popped out of his hand twice. It was like he had maybe a bar of soap or something. But it was Greece, you know, at that stage, to be fair to him. And even if you look at some of the goalies' puckouts where they hit space, the ball just skidded off the surface and went straight out over the line. But like he did, I think they kind of gave him a free enough Roman role there yesterday. I think he could go where he wanted. And I think Bennett finishing up the same. You could even see the few scores he got. He was back around his own midfield, maybe back towards his own 65. So Ozzy got a free Roman role. But he got on the world of ball for them. And what I really liked about him was he did the right thing with the ball, in fairness to him, more often than not. The points he got, he was right to take them on. But, I mean, he was throwing the ball around. There wasn't too many over-the-shoulder shots from Ozzy yesterday. And I think that he learned a lot from, especially last year with Liam Cahill and Beavins coming in, about this team ethos, and it's not about the one player. And, you know, the Waterford lads are, you know, we've all played against them, lads, I suppose, and there used to be an era there where they might shoot from everywhere. When they were going over, they were brilliant. But I suppose now we're in a game where possession is vital. Like, and you don't maybe see any more of these out by the sideline over the shoulder wonder shots, you know, like from Ozzy we used to see. So I thought he was very impressive yesterday. I thought he covered a lot of ground for him. And, you know, will they maybe look at him and giving him that free Roman role again? You wouldn't know, because he can score from distance too. Like, we've all seen that. Like.
Yeah, but you mentioned Tim O'Mahony yesterday, Shane, as well. Like, on that particular goal that Jack O'Connor got, I thought it was Tim O'Mahony actually dispossessed Ozzy. He gave him a right welt as he was coming over the ball. I think he dropped it. And Tim O'Mahony went back for the second time for the afters.
He did, yeah.
And, like, that was 30 yards from the Cork forward. And it was a feature of yesterday's play that Tim O'Mahony, it reminded me a little bit like Dennis Irwin back in the day, Dale, you know, when the great Manchester United team was attacking from the back line and creating opportunities and scoring himself. So
Shane,
I saw a lot of...
Shane, where was Tim O'Mahony playing?
Yeah, cut that off, TJ, sort of.
wing back, TJ. But he is, like, no more so than Kieran Bennett, the other side. Kieran Bennett has number 7 on his back. But the two of them had a license to go forward. And even in the first half there, do you remember, lads, Tim O'Mahony, he had the world of space. Now, he was literally 40, 50 yards on his own underneath the stand. I'm not sure the name of the stand where the media are, but underneath those.
South stand.
Liam Cahill, the South stand, and looking over.
They're waiting for a big sponsor to come in. They're waiting for a big sponsor to come in before they name him.
Sports They're on the way, Dale. I tell him, Sports Direct must be absolutely thrilled with just the staff off.
Oh, yeah, you have things happen.
Yeah. But Tim O'Mahony had the run of Patrick Queeve there. For that goal chance for Hoggy in the first half, and Cahill went over, called Jack Fagan and said, "You're not letting him go on his own again," because Tim O'Mahony, lads, you know yourselves, he hurled in the forwards, Mary Eye, he did a lot of hurling, I'm sure, lads, with Newtown up around full forward there. I seen him one day with half a hamstring, getting man of the match nearly. So he's very comfortable up around there as well. But look, I was very impressed with him yesterday. There was a fair bit of bite in him now in that kind of 30-second spell too, Mark. He was borderline. He was nearly tick-like, you know, and he could have gone too far, but, you know, it worked out fine. And in fairness, another guy I really liked for yesterday for his work rate, because he's a great stick man, is Luke Mead. He worked fair hard, and he got that flick in for Jack O'Connor as well. So, look, maybe we're seeing a new Cork group. Maybe we're saying, look, we got to work hard first, and then, geez, look, there's no question about their ability to use the ball. It's unbelievable that the stick passes. I always say, like, if you have to play a Cork in a failing a Gael skills competition, Cork could win it every year because they're some of the best sticks men around that.
Yeah, and like Darragh Fitzgibbon was on fire in the middle of the field, like, wasn't he? He was just covering every. I mean, himself and Callum Lyons was an awful battle. And if Callum Lyons had got the scores like he got them last year, both in the league and the championship, you'd be maybe talking about him. But poor old Callum misses the goal chance, well, to the half chance, but. By last year's standards, he'd have nailed it. And then he missed a couple of handy points. And then he gets the red card. Like, it was kind of a nightmare day for him. So, one of those days.
But they were both going forward, Dale, just from being there yesterday. Callum Lyons was going forward as much as Darragh Fitzgibbon. But Darragh Fitzgibbon just knew how to play midfield a bit better than Callum Lyons did yesterday. And, like, we all know Darragh Fitzgibbon. Like, we played Charleville a couple of years ago in a challenge with the club. I thought it was madness anyway. Because I think they won the All-Ireland intermediate final after that. When Darragh Fitzgibbon scored a 9th point off me from midfield, I had to give him a bit of a flake myself and say, "Will you leave it off?"
He does box it off really well. Dello, for me,
yes, TJ.
before we talk about Cork, right, because it seems to be all Cork this morning, doesn't it? All
Cork. Look at it, it's been a team since about 5 o'clock yesterday evening, TJ.
All Cork.
There's a Corkness back in the country, social media and everything. Sunday Sport last night, like.
By next Saturday at about 7 or 8 o'clock, it could be all doom and gloom again, like, you know?
Last night, Dylan, there was two programmes on last night at 9:30, right? One in RT1 and one in RT2, right? One of them was about hurling and the other one was called Holy Fuck, right? And as far as I'm concerned, as far as I'm concerned, I think hurling is heading this mob that way, right? We had refereeing differently from one day to the next. We had rule changes midweek, the week before the first round of the league, or was it maybe even 24 hours or 48 hours? Mayor Forna is in, Mayor Forna is out. The advantage rule, I don't understand what the theory behind it is. And the last thing for me, the punter sitting at home is, and that's why I asked about Tim O'Mahony, you're making assumptions as to the way teams are playing. We're making assumptions as to where a fella is playing. And we're getting no help from you guys, Dalo, in the media, telling us this is the formation, this is the way teams are set up. I don't have a problem with teams taking sharp puck outs. I don't have a problem with the way teams set up. But it would be good for the TV stations now, maybe during the water break, to at least show us this is what we're doing. Because it's frustrating from being at home. And that's why Saturday night, Sunday, we're kind of watching these games without the fans, without the atmosphere. Jesus, I thought it was hard viewing. I know it's the first round of the league. It's not the players' fault. They're going to improve. And to go to Cork, they're going to improve probably next week and the week after. It does take time to stamp a game plan, like, right, for what they've done in training. I was very impressed. Like, talk about Tim O'Mahony for the first goal, Shane, right? Like, before, that might have been a ball lumped forward. If you go back to Cork last year, they made a hero to Tadhg Na Bhfórca Mac in the championship by just hitting ball aimlessly, right? You could clearly see there's something about them, right? Yeah, it comes, as Dalo said this morning, with an exclamation mark about the way they finished. And, you know, one stage one for 11 points down. And then they brought it back to four back with to four to play. Four to play, yeah. Which is what you want in a team. And even at that time, right, you were kind of saying, Jesus, if they bring this back to three, it could get
Limerick, it was 2018 all over again, TJ.
Yeah,
and then
a
long ball dumped down the field by Patrick Collins and broke to Shane Kingston, and he got in for the goal.
And my last whinge for the morning, Dello, is, right, I think, did you see Pogba yesterday making a manufacturer penalty again for United, right? Did they get soft ones, right? I think we're heading into a period of manufactured freeze, Shane, right? Over the weekend, there was a huge amount of players who just go to tackle a fella with maybe your hand in. And I know this comes back to coaching, with a hand in over the opposition hand, right? When you have the ball, you wrap the hand and they're getting the free every single time. So it was a little bit frustrating to watch, Mark, wasn't it?
Sure, I brought that up with Fergal Hogan the last time we were on. The forwards are throwing the hand in all the time. And his response was, Jason, you think that we're around long enough, we know exactly when frees are frees and they're not frees. And I would agree with you. There was a good few manufactured frees yesterday, particularly in the Cork game, I would have to say. Now, I suppose if you're getting them, you don't mind. But I thought, you know, some of the refereeing decisions leave a lot to be desired. But I suppose the big one over the weekend, TJ, is going to be the advantage rule. I mean, that was working perfectly up to yesterday, that when a player breaks a tackle who has been fouled and we are allowing the player to develop, the rules committee have now made a decision to say that the advantage is the free, which is not an advantage rule at all. Like, but what's more disappointing is that the referees weren't even consulted about it. And I don't think that the likes of Dickie Murphy or Willie Barrett are actually on that committee. No,
this was brought into Congress.
It's in for the year, regardless of how much people give out about it. Basically.
I know.
I think we're trying to suss that all morning.
But I think, Shane, that can be reversed, because Anthony Nash, remember when Anthony Nash was taking the freeze a couple of years back, that was changed midstream. And I think because of health. It was changed midstream, yeah. Remember, he used to pick the ball in the 21 and he hit it from the 13. Yeah. Midstream in the championship, it was brought out.
I think the health and safety side of this is stop people having heart attacks at home or stop breaking televisions and stuff for what's going on. Personally, the Limerick boys lost out with the most of this so-called advantage rule at the weekend, TJ, when Conor Boyle put the ball over the back and gave him a reading.
Yeah, I think, like, I, 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 I know. I think they won the first half. But Shane, do you think that we're heading towards a period of, let's say maybe take a 5-year period of less contact or heading for non-contact, and then maybe nearly taking an NFL view of where there's two sides to the game now, complete offense and complete defense? Are we heading that way?
Yeah, I think one of the hardest places to play in the field now is probably the half forward line. Because, you know, the way most teams are playing, it's just crazy down there in the middle third, as you call it. And if you're a wing back, if you're a Jeremy Burns, you're happy enough maybe for your guy to go into that, because you know a Tom Morrissey or a Garrod Hegarty or you know, someone like that is going to do a job there for you in the middle, and that allows you to sit back and then allows you to get a better quality ball in. But you're talking about non-contact, DJ. I think personally now, like, I don't know how you feel now, you were probably three stronger hurlers than I was. I was more of a kind of a get the ball, move the ball kind of fella. I didn't really like the contact, but I was shuddering there on the couch watching some of the hits going in there Saturday evening. You know, I was happy enough now eating the old omelette and chips, like, but I was watching, like, Kyle Hayes. If he ran into you know, these guys, there was actually a spell there in the Tip Limerick match. I know we talk about Tip Limerick, but Jason Ford hit Kyle Hayes a shoulder and knocked him over. I'd say Kyle Hayes hasn't been knocked since he was 4 or 5 years of age, I'd say. But, like, I think personally, T, to talk about the non-contact thing, I don't think Intra County hurlers have ever been as strong. And I'm not talking about forking bales of silage into cattle strong. I'm talking about benching 120, 130 kg strong. And I kind of worry for lads like that. They're doing so much in the gym now, lads, to get right to play hurling. Like, are we missing out on the Jerry O'Connors of this world who aren't going to do that? Or are we missing out on lads, more skillful lads, because of it? And I worry also, guys, that what are they going to be like when they're 45 or 50, or, you know, that with all they're doing? I don't know, lads. I just think they're maybe, we're getting, from a hurling point of view, are we going more with how strong you are, and then you can become a hurler, or could we go back to you're a hurler and we'll make you strong now to make you better? I'd love to know what you think.
Two quick ones there, Shane, and that, like, it's Seven Henry, you're standing there on the side, and now Henry's still fair shape, like, you know, I would say Henry's body hasn't changed too much since he was playing. And we're standing there and Limerick are warming up behind us, and I have a better view of him. He's complete back to him. I'm kind of side on. And I know Garrod Hegarty is only about 8 foot behind him, and we're on an ad break. And I just go, "Hi, we ever as strong as that?" And he looks behind. Jesus, he's like, you know, just the sheer power of the man. And a few more like that, like, you know, just being down there on the sideline, I suppose you just have a prime view of really how absolute man mountains, like, a lot of them, you know. And even some of the Tip lads now, they wouldn't have as pronounced big lads. Galway do, I would say. Do you know, Galway have those three or four as well that really stand out at you. But lads, I got a good few texts, like, of fellas, you know, who knew I was on the TV or whatever. On my way home, at home Saturday night, and knew I was going up doing the radio as well yesterday. So, and I knew we'd be talking this morning, obviously. And one of my good friends kind of just said to me, "Is this game gone forever, Dalo, to the chessboard?" And that was after Limerick Tip, right? And then I texted him back last night, "Well, was there any chessboard involved in Cork?" And he said, "Sure, today, two different sports," he says to me. "But what will happen when Cork meet Limerick or Tip meet Waterford?" Which is, you know, I thought Tip changed their tactics a fair bit Saturday, Shane, in terms of, and I agree with you, TJ, with the league coverage. It is difficult because obviously it was Air Sports, you know, viewing that RT get. And like, I'll be conscious of that now. I'm doing core commentary Saturday night for, and I'll try and let you know who's where, TJ, on the teams. But like, it was like, as you mentioned to me, two different sports, or Dillo, is it?
Touch about Classico, but Saturday night coming, Dillo, isn't there?
There is, and I tell you, there's a couple of more as well. Galway and Limerick, the clash of the
Clare and Wexford.
Clare and Wexford,
that's
going
to be one.
Is that one going to be on television?
Dillo's on it, sir.
I'm core commentator. I think it's Jay Goda.
We want you with a private camera and the two managers now, Dillo, as well, all right?
I'm only hoping to let me in, Mark. That's the big question.
And Dela, we want you with a mic beside the fill up in the stand that you're going to put in to upset poor old Davy.
This is a home game for Clare, Mark. I'm doing core commentary for RTE.
Need a mic in the stand now as well.
It's turned into. Well, come here, go back to what I was saying. We look forward to the game as we can.
Yeah, like, Dela, you're right.
We're like two different sports, TJ. See, TJ, you text. Well, this is what it's going to be like. I'm going playing golf on Saturday night.
I was frustrated with not being able to understand the game fully, but, like, to be fair to the opposing managers, right, let's say Now, Galway are different because they're a big physical team, but Cork play Limerick, right? Are you going to get Patrick Collins to puck ball down on top of Kyle Hayes, Declan Hannan, and Dermot Burns? The answer to that is no. Not a hope. No. So that's why it has to turn into a game of chess. And like, are we heading for a period of where we're probably going to look at 70-80% of puck outs now all going short? Look at even the last ball, the tip hit in the game, right? Where they just had no choice but to lump it forward. And the three boys in the Limerick full-back line, the three of them held their ground. So that's why I'm saying to you about it now comes into what the boys were talking about last night about this short, safe transfer of the ball, where when you have it, you don't give it away. And then when they have it, you get your setup as to how best we can get this ball back off them. But to talk about Tip Dello, I did think that Sheedy and Tommy Dunn and boys will be happy going home with the formula. There might be pieces of the performance that they weren't overly excited about, maybe scoring from play, etc. But I think the closing of the space to the diagonal ball. Last year in the championship, Shane, I think they got hung up. They sent Alan Flynn, man marking Keane Lynch. That kind of threw him before the game where he was moved into centre forward. Yeah. I think they got pulled and dragged a lot of players. I think they dealt with that much better on Saturday night. I do know now you're going to be dealing with different personnel. And when Keane and definitely Peter Casey came on, it made a big difference. But I think formula wise, I do think the Tip boys will be happy.
But would I know what it would be today. And even look, I was glancing down the line as that last ball, who hit it? He came on as a sub, Shane, red helmet.
Dylan Quirk.
And like he lifted his head and looked, and there was nobody. And he just baited cross field. And the 3 minutes was up anyway. But I gave a little glance down the line, and I was watching the clock as well. And like the final whistle went, and Liam did give a little clenched fist. And like it was a game, I felt they should have won. But it was so important not to lose, like, and you made that point. Yeah. I think that's right. But as a spectacle, Mark, I didn't really enjoy it, and I was there now, which is a whole pile privilege to be there, and
that's because I said it was an awful lot of lack of scoring, Anthony, like 20 points each when you're 5-22 and 1-27 in Partick Cleeve, 24 hours.
One half chance of a goal, Mark.
Yeah. No, it was very disappointing from that perspective. But it was a physical game. There was a lot of freeze in it. And I think Cullum Lyons refed the game to the letter of the law, because that's the pressure the referees are under right now, that they have to ref to the rules of the game. And I think that frustration was coming out. And John Kiley made a comment about it after the game as well. I actually think Liam Sheehy, I know he might have a clenched fist, but I thought with 15 minutes to go, tip of the game in the bag, they were 5 points up and they were hurling fierce well. I think in a low scoring game, I think they should be disappointed with not coming away with the result.
I know, but I say it was just that it seemed as if Limerick were going to snatch it, like, and he come away with nothing.
That would have been the worst thing of all, like, because that would have been a collapse then, that, you know, and that'll tell you the pressure that Rashidi was under, that he actually was hoping for the final whistle. But if you were looking at the clock with 15 minutes ago, which I was in the television saying, this is a great result for Tipperary, even though Limerick didn't start with, I mean, they started with 9 of the first 15 from the All-Ireland final, and the likes of Keane Lynch and Hegarty are massive contributors to that team. But I think Tip will be slightly disappointed.
Crucial moment, lads, and you look at a little moment, and you can't pick one moment because maybe a goal chance or something, like if Hoggy had scored the goal, maybe that Billy Nolan made a great save from, Cork might have won that match a good bit easier, and wouldn't be questioning the lulls or whatever. But for Tip, for me, they got a free, Shane. Bit back now, and Jason Ford ran to take it, and I don't know whether Ronan Marrow overruled Jess, but like Ford, the radar was on fire, like, wasn't it? Angle, sideline. I mean, there was a lot of exhibitions of free kick into the weekend.
Yeah.
Oh my God, he was on. And I remember saying it, like, to Joanne and Henry, were three of us there together. Jesus, let him 40 guy. Just put him 5 ahead, like. And for me, that's crucial. Like, and like Limerick nearly went down immediately and got it back to 3. So I think that was a moment in it anyway. But I just think, you know, somewhere in between, someone could come up with a formula, lads, where you could engage Limerick in the middle ground, right? That's what's not easy to do now, and we will say that probably Galway are the best equipped to do that, right? Engage them in the middle ground, and yes, try and pull them either side, because I just don't think, with Limerick at full strength, that kind of a Tip approach where they did play very deep. God, I only imagine, lads, if it was the poor old Dublin hurlers and I had them, and I played like that, I'd be vilified on a show like this morning. So they're destroying Hurling, like. So no, there's no one up in the full forward line. But that was the reality. And I don't blame Liam Sheedy, because it was about having a look at what could beat the best team in the country.
Yeah. And I think that's a big thing, Dalo. And Mark, you know, I suppose when you're 5 points up against anyone, you're going to want to win a game, you know, coming into the final quarter and everything. But with this current Limerick group, like, okay, as you know well, TJ, you know well, like, they haven't been beaten like since August 2019, right? They're a serious team. And I think they've had our number when it's, say, our and Cogo tip. They've had our number the last good while. I mean, last seven times they've played, like, we've only bet them once. The draw the other night, Limerick have won the other five, and we're talking about comprehensively winning now as well. Like, gave us some trimming in the Munster final there in inside the Gaelic grounds in 2019. Do you know what I mean? And gave us a nice trimming now down in Parkcleeve last year. Like, the only time we bet them has been in a league semi final a couple of years ago, went to extra time. It was 2-31 to 1-31 or something inside in Simple Stadium there under lights one night. So while I understand what you're saying, Mark, I say, you know, 5 points up, you want to win it. I do honestly feel, as a group, if they'd lost the match, it would have been a killer this week, going back, doing recovery there, whatever they were doing yesterday or training, going again training tomorrow. But not losing the match to Limerick, I think, will give the group big confidence going into the weekend, like, you know.
But Shane, I think over the last 3 years, just as you said there about Tip, right, I think, like, and we're talking with serious students of the game now, in Liam, Tommy Dunn, Dara, Eamon O'Shea, right? I think they've tried a number of different things from what I've seen. When I went to Thurles last year early, I saw, like, Keane Lynch was man-marked by Alan Flynn, which then went on to the championship, right? They left somebody at home to kind of mind the square. They then tried to man-mark, let's say, Grohl Hegarty and Tom Morrissey and pushed up and leave one guy at home. That didn't work, right? They didn't try in the championship where basically they kind of left a wing back at home. But I thought the big positive for me coming out is, I think formula-wise, I think that they will have felt that this did work. Yeah, they have tweaks to do, but they completely gave up the full forward line to pull them back to be effectively a half forward line. And then everyone went filtered back to field, allowing them to completely kill all spaces. So did the six spaces of the back line for Tip filled at all times. Do you know those diagonal balls they're good at? Yeah, they got one or two away, but overall, like, Limerick scoring whatever 20 points, that's kind of maybe would be considered low for them, right? So I think
full turns are normal.
Yeah, two doors are normal. I think formula-wise, Shane, I think that would be the most pleasing piece for Tip. They can fix the personnel afterwards, and yeah, they fix the scoring and all that, right? And as Dello said, maybe the goal chances might come with maybe different players or whatever. But it is a tricky one, like, and that's back to Dello's initial question here about the chess. I do think we're in a period of chess.
I think you two of the, like, is it the Queen's Gambit is on Netflix? Is that the one about chess lads? I'm sure you are. I think you two of the Queen's Gambits there in the form. Paul Kinnork has been one. Beavens is another. You know, you've Eamon O'Shea with Val. You've lads there that know this game, the modern game that we're talking about, you know, about how to put lads in certain places, how to make space, how to create space. You know, as I said to you about, even it was fascinating to watch the Cork and Waterford Puck Cup yesterday. A few of them. Everybody gets sucked to one side of the field, and the ball is hit into space, came off maybe once or twice, but you're talking about a game of chess. There it is, like, in real life, you know, everybody came to one side. You know, what I think teams will start copping onto it in as the year goes on, and you have your main guys on the field, is the really smart hurlers won't go with the lad, and they'll just probably stay and mark the space lads. And they'll know that something is coming in there, like, eventually, you know, so that's what happens.
But Shane, for me, like, you were there, you could see it, and I like being at a game to be able to see that as well. I think, for the viewer at home and for a lot of the hurling supporters now, I think that needs to be kind of explained to people, right? So during that water break for that 2 or 3 minutes, instead of, I don't know, like, on one of the cameras, we were looking at some fella's boots there. I think he was holding the camera, right? Is, like, could you not just show us, this is the setup. This is the way Tip, this is the way Tip are set up. This is the way Limerick.
I'm on the radio.
Okay. this is the way water
I
is
no
set up.
I've no control
like.
Over what's been paid for the camera work either. Like, you know,
I'm just saying. In other words, you're looking for a kind of a 4-4-2-1, like, or 4-4-3-2-1 or something like that.
Well, you couldn't explain
the Tip's system to Andy now. I tell you the truth now.
But it's very easy, in other words, the full forward line playing in the 45-yard line, and the other 12 players were back to field.
Well, the two midfielders, who I thought Alan Flynn had a great game now. Yeah, and if Michael Green had scored the chances he got, you would say they would have won midfield hands down. Seldom you saw Willem O'Donoghue was quiet like. They really did. I thought Tip shaded midfield by a nice bit.
But
they dropped back though. They made a five nearly. And Shamie Kennedy was nearly a four with Shamie Kennedy sitting behind the four. So he didn't really attempt to go out and signs on. David Reedy hit a bit of ball. And at times you'd say it wasn't working because Flanagan maybe was getting the run on Brian McGrath early. Now, it's tough ask on Brian McGrath. I wouldn't have named at five. Now, for all I know, Shane, he could have known all the week that he was three. But I was looking forward to seeing Brian McGrath in the half hour. And in fairness to Brian McGrath, as all the McGraths would do, he grew into the match. He actually finished strong, you know. But Jamie Flanagan is really kicking on, I'd say, TJ.
Can you imagine Flanagan and Galland there, Alex? You know, we're talking about, and I know it's early days. Like, for me, it's like looking at the mock Leaving Cert results, right? And if I went by my mock Leaving Cert results, I'd probably have enough to do fish farming or basket weaving. I wouldn't be going anywhere near the teaching, I tell you that. Like, so you'd such monsters of men either side, not there. But like, I agree with Dale on it. I'm sure you agree, TJ. I think Jamie Flanagan has now become from, oh God, I hope I get on, to this guy has to be on. And I think he's exceptional. I think him and Galan up there as a two, and maybe Peter Casey or someone out the field, and you hit the space in front of him. Geez, they'll be hard marked, TJ, like that on here.
But Shane, my point is, I don't think that space was there in front of him in the second half, right? I think the Tip effectively shut it down. Now, the consequence for Tip was they didn't get any score from play. They had to rely on the freeze. So if you look at Shamie Flanagan, where he got his fourth point, he got it from exactly in the middle of the field. And Dale, when Peter Casey came on, it was like as if, I don't know what position he came on in, right? Or if there was positions at that stage, right? But it was like as if Kinnear told him, you have to stay in the middle of the field because that's where we'll work the transfer to. Like, I think if Peter Casey went in corner forwards, I don't think he would have got the scores. So that was probably the reaction from someone like a Kinnear. I think the Tip closed that space exceptionally well. I know Shamie got one or two early doors out in the left-hand side, but after that, that space was killed.
So do you think, TJ, would you mind me asking, do you think now teams to try and beat Limerick, right, this is what I'm looking at now, are going to be happy enough maybe not to score a goal, hope they kind of hit the 20-22 point mark and just try and nullify Limerick with loads of guys back? Like, is it going to become football?
I think I think so. I just what you said there about Shamie Flanagan and Aaron Gillan in the full forward line, right? I don't think that any team, like if you were over a team going out to play Limerick, any other teams, I would say one prerequisite is anyway, we cannot leave a lot of space in front of these two boys, right? Because they will walk the ball to the middle of the field and they will ping it in at the angle and they're like I don't know if you ever played cornerback, Shane. I'd say you might have been handy there with your pacey and stuff, right? But in a one-on-one situation with an angle ball coming to one of these guys, effectively, no matter how good as a cornerback you are, you have little or no chance. So I do see that. Now, we did see a tweak last year, Delo, that me and you probably were slow to kind of come to terms with, was Kyle Hayes going back to wing back, because usually we were used to Burns never starting from five, Declan Hannan sitting at six, and Dan Morrissey sitting at seven, and literally those Limerick backs never crossed the halfway line.
But I'd say you'll see him back up there today, up in the forwards again. I thought Richie was very good.
Yeah,
But Dan Morrissey has to go somewhere.
Yeah, it changed then that Kyle Hayes was bombing on, right? So you could see another change again. And the change I thought I saw was Peter Casey coming on more or less in the middle of the field. We needed Keane's influence, even though he was only on for a short time. He still had plenty possession. He still had plenty possessions, and he does kind of make that team tick.
He just takes mind in TJ, doesn't he? Like, you know, he had that presence on the field.
He didn't even have that many possessions, TJ, but the ones he got on, you could nearly tell, and it was only the mentors and the officials.
They were effective.
Go on, Keane. You could hear he's, you know, you could ingenuine, and he had a huge part in that brilliant Flanagan score from way out. Like, they both that beautifully, four or five passes. But well, I suppose, look, you have to talk about the officiating over the weekend, I suppose. Just John Kiley, I suppose, he gave the RTE interview and he didn't say too much about it, which is fine. And I suppose you're more relaxed maybe doing the interview with the reporters. I think we have a bit of that there. This is just, I suppose, him talking to the media scrum rather than one-to-one with RTE. So just we might have that clip of that there.
John, was the application of the new advantage rule to straight to play, because it seemed to do a lot more frees than usual. That's obviously the very problem I was told.
Did you do a count on the frees, John?
No, but it didn't look good at all.
It was 21 to 10. So, you know who had the most of it. But, that goes without saying. So, yeah, listen, there was a good lot of stoppages. Yeah, there was a lot of stoppages in that regard. But listen, maybe, on the other hand, you know, the referees haven't exactly had a chance to referee any games for the last 6 or 7 months either, you know. So, I don't know when Cullum last refereed a game. So, they've got to get a chance as well over the next couple of weeks to get some game time in and get, you know, their decision making up to scratch as well. So, you know, they're in the same boat as ourselves. We're all trying to improve what we're doing out there. And there's a little bit of getting used to the rule tweaks there, that advantage rule in particular. There's a bit of getting used to that now. That was a big change today, I thought. Yeah.
Okay, so that's obviously your own John Fogarty asking him the question about the free count. 21-10. There was a few, I say, when you look back at your phone again afterwards, was one or two questions. And of course, then Joanne asked me the question, where referees clamped down, or was there some effort by somebody to clamp down on Limerick style? So I said I'd be very disappointed if I thought there was, unless we all knew about it and it was pointed out what was a free and what wasn't a free. So if there was something wrong with Limerick style last year. So I think John maybe alluded to that a small bit there as well. Did he mark like 21-10? And who got the 21? Like, you know who got the 10?
Yeah. Well, I Brian Gavin said in the exam today it was 21-13, so it's somewhere in around that day, though, anyway. And I suppose John alluded to it, that maybe that they conceded more frees over the course of the game, and I suppose Jason Font hit 12 or 13 points in frees yesterday, which is an awful lot when you think of 19 or 20 points in total. I thought Cullum Lyons, to be fair to him, ref the game the way the rules of the association have allowed him to. And we do know that Limerick are probably the most physical team out there at the moment. They're certainly not a dirty team. They're a good, hard, physical team. And I don't see any problem with their tackling and stuff like that. I think it's more the advantage rule yesterday seemed to come against Limerick, I would suggest, yesterday. And I think that the lads in the Sunday game made a point last night that this actually could cause you more trouble down the road, because it may be more advantage to foul a fella than actually let him go out with the ball. And particularly, I think, that means defenders coming out with the ball. Like, are you better off to foul a fella back in the 21 or the 40? Absolutely, because the free tackle won't probably score from maybe the opposing 45-metre line. So it is more advantageous, I think, to foul a fella and bring him down and give the yellow card, because Fergal Hogan confirmed for us the last that a cynical foul outside the 21 in the D is only a yellow card. It's not time in the sin bin. So I think that is a major issue for the GAA. And the disappointing thing is that they sprung it on the referees, even though it may have come in Congress, Anthony. The referees, I think, were only made aware of it in the last fortnight. So, and that is the biggest talking point after the weekend. And you'd have to say, just before I go away, is that the sin bin scenario actually probably worked to a fair extent over the weekend, the cynical fouling, that there wasn't a whole pile of it over the weekend?
No, and we'll talk about the sin bin one. I think to give it a good spin. But TJ, are they clamping down on you? Like, I felt a bit like this then. A lot of Clare people, I didn't know, but a lot of the old Clare supporters felt around 98 that there was a general feeling that, all right, you came in there and you won two, but the umpire is saying, that's enough for you now. Tip away back there to your traditional music with us. It'll be the Periwinkles and Kiki for you, TJ.
It's certainly starting to feel that way, Dale. Getting rid of Paul Kinnark off the sideline, allowing opposition bring on seven subs, getting rid of the advantage rule. It's certainly beginning to look that way, all right, from where we are. I thought the advantage rule was brought in a couple of years ago, Dale, to have kind of a bit more flow and less freeze in the game, right? And it would be a better spectacle. So I don't understand why that change was made and why we need that. I don't think we need to hear the referee's whistle. I think my point to Fergal Hogan the last day was that if you had a Mayor Forna there, that you'd be reminding him of that count. Do you know what I'm saying? Cullum, Do you know what I mean? They have 10 more frees. Are we that dirty? Are we, like, I think if you were reminding him in his ear during the game, I think you can have a little bit of influence on him. But look, I don't have any one or two particular incidents in the game that I thought were harsh or this and the other. I just think the game is gone. Like, we've under 15 trend in the field tonight, right? And at the end of it, we'll play like probably a 10 v 10 or 11 v 11, right? And I'll probably have three or four young fellas giving out to me at the end of the training and saying that they should have had a free, or I gave a free, there was no free. So the game has gone very, very, very difficult to referee. And what we're looking at and looking for in the middle third there, right, is tricky. And I'm going back to the question of where we're headed, Dello. Are we headed down a road of where we want just teams to have the ball, and then you try and get the ball back off them, and then you keep it, and I don't know. I'm just a little bit unclear.
Well, look, the sin bin thing, right? I don't know how much you saw, Shane, because you were on duty yesterday. Like, the lad of the clearers from Leash got the sin bin,
yeah,
against Wexford, and it was probably Rory O'Connor coming. Rory O'Connor, and he did tackle Robbie, tackle him as such, and now Lee Chin's penalty is poorly hit, and it's saved by Roland, and before we know it, clear is back on, I suppose. And but the match, I suppose, was always going one way, but like, and so it's not magnified really. But overall, I suppose there wasn't too much of that. I'd say the big one, the boys showed it last night, and I had a clip of it. I showed it to Aaron Shanahan's one, like, was a stone wall above in Belfast. Like, and Brian Lawan is probably getting loads of jib today everywhere he looks, and like, would probably have swung the match at that stage. A penalty, Kelly sticks it, and then somewhere down to 14 for 10 minutes. Like, so. Fine lines. Now, you can't. I know it's useless, McLaren. I'm not going there at all. We'll talk about the Clarence match in a minute. I'm not going there at all. That's not an excuse, but just have to get the consistency right on that. But that wasn't the big issue. The bloody advantage is if this is going to continue, and finishing up the Sunday game last night at Sunday Sport, Joanne Cantwell told us that it can't be changed. It was in Congress. Like, it has to be changed. That's, or otherwise, the referees just have to ignore it themselves. Look, you're dead right. This is what was said, like, that. It suits you to foul. Kyle Hayes coming out with the ball. Dermot Burns, Barry Nash, the other wing. They're bursting forward, break the tackle, drag back. Sure, lads, there was an incident in the Dublin game as well. And it was shown up last night about Conor Boylan's one. But Danny Sutcliffe caught a puck out, broke the tackle, got dragged back, broke the tackle as he would. Big strong Philip over the bar off his left. If you imagine if Parnell Park was full and he all played there, how intimidating it can be. Like, and they had lifted the roof like against Kilkenny at home. And just as he was hitting it, sailed over there, and then brought back the free, and Donald Burke failed to rise it. No score out of it. Like.
Yeah.
And I think the score time was 14-12 to Kilkenny. Do you know what I mean? Like, how much of an influence is that one? We got a bit touch of everything with the Kilkenny-Dublin game on the rules, because Paddy Smith was one of the guys that was highlighted for the tackle on Shane Kingston. And then Massey Keown gets inside him. Now, James Madden was probably the wrong side of his man. Poor old Paddy just happened to be there. But Paddy, like, probably last year, no problem taking down Kingston. But he didn't really... I'd say Paddy went through his head in a microsecond, Mac. He probably said,
Jesus, exactly.
Them refs are looking at my clip all week.
Yeah.
They're saying, this is sin bin territory. And he didn't tackle him in a goal. And it was actually the goal that won the game, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that is... And to be fair, that is the reason why the sin bin stroke cynical play inside the 21 in the D has come in. To give the advantage to the forward who's in a goal-scoring position. And I do welcome that rule, I must say. But again, it is around the confusion of the advantage rule, Anthony, that the biggest talking points of this weekend is. And I think we will see less of the sin bin until possibly maybe with 3 or 4 minutes to go in a game when a team are maybe 4 points up and a fella will say, do you know what? There's only 3 minutes left on the clock. 10 minutes in the bin. I'm only going to be in there for 3 minutes. I think a fellow will take one for the team, but he certainly won't take one for the team in the first half or maybe the first quarter of the second half. I think that is definitely working, Anthony. But I'm coming back to you on the advantage rule, and it's in Congress and it can be changed. Go back to the Anthony Nash rule a number of years back, whereby the GAA changed the penalty situation of the 21-yard free midstream in the season. I don't know 100% was it for health and safety reasons, but it was changed mid-season that a penalty or a 21-yard free could not be struck from inside the 21. And that happened mid-season, and that's why the ball has come out to maybe 2 metres
from outside the 21 that the ball has to be struck before the 20. That did change mid-season. So, look, yeah. It's only the first round of the league, and maybe things will be a bit clearer next weekend. But for all of us that are talking here now, it certainly isn't a good thing for referees or for teams or for spectators.
And Max, will we ever forget, before you go on, will we ever forget, like, 13 Clare lads with goalies, hurlies inside the goal? And yeah, will we ever forget Saki O'Keefe running out to meet it? Remember that? The one he threw up and Saki came out of the goal. Well, remember the mark on his leg after the ball? Jesus. There was fellas some other sports saying, you're nuts. You know, like, I think they had to change. But Jesus, lads, this will be health and safety as well, TJ, if they don't change.
It will. And that's my... I keep coming back to where we headed. My belief here is I don't think the referees wanted this change. Like, I thought there was... Like, they were trying to let the game go. And in fairness, in most games, when the game is going well, the referee tries to let it flow. I don't believe the players want this. So why...
I think, to be fair to Sean Clear yesterday...
Don Logue told us that last night, sir. It was football lads giving us rules.
To be fair to Sean Clear yesterday, like, for one of Alan Connolly's goals...
Yes.
Like, the time lines hit him, he did give the advantage. And I think everyone was there was saying, fair play, Sean. So, like, as you said, Dale, and you've all said, lads, in fairness, I wonder if the referees got together. You know, it's always maybe kind of on the players and stuff for all this. I wonder if the referees got together... And they went to Willie Barrett being their spokesperson, or whoever is their spokesperson, Mark, I'm not sure, but and said,
"Well,
it's the referees at the end of the day. It's the referees are getting all the stick." And to be fair to them, as you said, lads, they probably didn't want this changed. But
yeah, they're not really getting it this weekend, aren't they? We're all kind of saying, Colin Lyons.
Yeah, but I mean, there's going to come a big game later in the year, and we will be talking about the refs. I wonder if they got together and said, "Look, we don't want this." And no more so, Mark, than you said about the Anthony Nash thing. I wonder would they say, "Look, it doesn't seem to be to the benefit of the game or the benefit of the players or the referees." Maybe we need to have a look at it.
So there's a couple of things I would say, Shane. We had Fergal Hogan on here 2 weeks ago, and he was brilliant. And a referee contacted me straight after. He said, Mark, he said, "I'm telling you now, the sin bin is not going to be an issue whatsoever for the referees. The biggest issue coming down is the advantage rule has been changed and nobody is aware of it." So that was the first thing. And I asked him, were the referees consulted about the decision? And he said, no, they weren't. And I also asked him last night, do you know, was Dickie Murphy or Willie Barrett, because they're the kind of the spokesman for the referees, as far as I'm aware, were they involved in the decision? He said, I can't confirm or deny that. But they're the type, like, definitely Dickie Murphy and Willie Barrett need an open line of communication from their own referees straight up along the line to Croke Park. That if there are changes to the rules, that needs to go through. And I mean, the fellas on the ground, to me, are possibly the best fellas to be asked about that. And if the referees, our referees, didn't have any hand act or part to play in it, their hands are tied, lads. They're following the rules of the association. I don't blame any of the referees. They have got to do their job, and we'll be giving out to them then if they didn't do their job properly. So,
would you ever have a referee strike, lads, I wonder? You know?
Landers is the man to contact and everyone to organise it.
He knows all about strikes. He's the man.
You're not so far away from one of them, I'd say, yourselves now.
Yeah, we'll come to that in a second. Dello, remind me, why did they make this change? Why did they reverse it?
I don't know.
What's the theory behind it?
I'll tell you one thing now. There's two men being mentioned there now, and I know they're not being mentioned in any way in the blame. It was Willie Barrett and Dickie Murphy. Well, I played under the two of them for long enough. They had no problem with a bit of advantage rule behind them or in front of them. They were fair enough guys to deal with. Do you know what I mean? Then, if you were acting the bollocks, you got it off the two of them. But if you were... Yeah. Fella was acting the bollocks and you reacted to that, the two boys were nearly saying, fair enough. Do you know?
Yeah.
No, they refed the match. Yeah. But there was a sense of fairness from them, I always thought. I just don't think it's coming from them at all. Like, I think Don Logue might have touched on something last night, mentioning football rules and how many times have football rules been changed, lads? Advance mark, this mark. It's worse than rugby now at this stage.
Is it broken, Dylan?
Pause, heave. What's that one in rugby, TJ? Pause.
Engage.
Touch.
Engage.
Touch.
Engage.
Pause. But, Dylan, is that gone now again?
Yeah, it's gone. Is it broken?
See? No, I don't think it is. No. Look, lads, we just need to go back to basics here. Fitzy gave a brilliant interview. Shane, myself and yourself were listening to it. Davy Fitz.
Yeah.
He's holding a minute there. He said, we're getting up around the high 30s on frees and games. This sport is ruined, he said. No, he said, no, I'm all for cynical stuff. We saw it last year, he said. I'm trying now to think of the interview. I'm not trying to make up stuff, he said. He said, we all saw the cynical stuff last year. We all feel that has to be cut out as best possible. We all know there'll be mistakes, the same as we make them on the line, the players make them from the refs. We accept that. But he said, don't ruin hurling. Shane, am I right? Was that genuinely said?
Oh, he did. And look, and he's a passionate man, Dale. I've seen him in action at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning trying to run around Cratlow Woods. He's a passionate man, like, you know.
He was dead right.
Yeah, he was. I know how we ended up in Cratlow Woods.
Fittest families.
Oh, the fittest families wouldn't get a look into what he was saying.
I know. But he was, like you just said, don't ruin the game.
No, he was dead right.
Why did they ruin the game?
I was at the opinion, Dale, that the game of hurling was in a very, very good place there, we said, up to recently. I thought it was some fantastic games of hurling, like Galway Clare semi-finals, Limerick Cork semi-finals, and we're just bringing in changes here. Like, and it just kind of reminds me about Irish fellas, you know. There's kind of an old saying about if they can't drink it, eat it, or ride it, they'll definitely break it. And I think we've broken it.
Bleep! <Yeah. laughs> let's. But look, hopefully, I think it has been maybe part of the media now, like, you know, not journalists or anything, but we have to keep banging on about these lads because this has to be changed. But the sin bin thing, it's there for a year. We knew it was there for the year. Let's roll with it and see. Do you know, if it works and we've more goal scoring chances and things like that. But this advantage thing, like, look, give back the power to the ref to say.
Absolutely.
If there's an advantage to the team that are fouled, play on. And if they don't get the advantage, go back.
Hopefully the refs will come together, lads, and hopefully the refs will say, look, we didn't want it. The players clearly don't want it. And the hurling people, they don't want it either. And I think they should go at the people who are in charge of this to whoever needs to be approached to Croke Park and say, we need to change this. You've changed it before. I think this needs to be changed. And look, at least, thank God, we have these few matches to try and sort it out. Imagine if we didn't have these matches and we went straight in championship. Jeez, lads, there'd be war if someone got knocked out over one of these.
And there's different games too, Dillo. Like you have a really, really open game, as Shane said, like Cork and Waterford, which is end-to-end with loads of space. And then you have a game like Limerick and Tip. There's different... It's nearly down to the referees, just intuition on the day as to how a game is going and how a game is flowing. So there has to be... Like, if you have the power in the middle of the field to referee the game, why not just leave it with him rather than nearly forcing his hands to a degree?
Yeah. And we constantly, the last couple of years, on this pod, we've always said about the refs working more with their linesmen and working more as a team and giving the linesmen more power to help the refs. And that's what we wanted and encouraged. And look, if people give out about us, giving out about refs too. I know what they do on the show, but we're with the refs on this one. We want them to be, you know. So look at, let's, yeah, we, like 1A is fascinating. You have to feel sorry for Westmeath, I suppose. Someone said to me that, you know, going forward, looking at the Joe McDonagh, Westmeath might be in the strongest position because of the great games they'll have in 1A. Like, geez, it doesn't look like that's going to be the case. And fairness to Shane O'Brien, like, he has to try and rally them now and say, lads, we have 4 more games to get through. We have to get through them positively. But it's tougher for them, isn't it? It doesn't look any easier now facing down to Watford, who shipped 5-22 and have to face them, you know, down in Watford.
Yeah. And like you have Watford, Cork, you have Tip and Clare and Galway. Like, I mean, it's a fierce, hard.
No, Clare on the other side.
Cork,
Watford, Tip. Yeah. Tip Limerick, Cork, Waterford, that's play. Like, Jesus, that's just tough going. Yeah. Like.
They're desperate. And like, I suppose they played in patches yesterday, Anthony, but Galway looked really, really good. Like, they're probably physically the most equipped team in the country at the moment to take on Limerick. And they have scorers. They can score from all their forwards, the scoring forwards. So it's a big step up for them.
No Joe
Kenning, but... But like, I'll be honest with Shane, I saw last year when the young Nyland came on late in the game last year, Joe's influence, I don't know, is Joe's influence starting to wane a little bit, Shane? Like, and I mean, like, he's brilliant.
That's harsh. He went off injured in the All-Ireland semi-final, like. Well, he's playing well. He went off injured, like. So we haven't seen him since.
But was he? Cahal Mannion was a bigger lass than Joe Kenning was.
Both huge lasses, I think.
But Mannion went off after 20 minutes, and he's a way, in my opinion, he's a way bigger influence on the Galway team. I think some of the players.
I think Joe is more of a. He is the dead ball specialist for him. Now, Nyland can do it as well. I think, Mark, maybe what you're saying is that he's not doing as much from open play for him.
No, sure.
As much as he was in regards to scoring. I think he's become more of a team player for Galway, in my opinion. I mean by that. I think he's actually throwing the ball around a bit more than taking on the scores himself now because he has better. Maybe he trusts lads more too. You know, at the end of the day, lads in all the same teams, club or schools that. There's lads around you and you're like, I'm not giving the ball to that lad. Not at all. Whereas now, Canning probably looks around and goes, I'll give it to Mannion. I'll give it to Niall Burke. I'll give it to Conor Whelan and they'll score. And I think he's happy enough to do that now as well for the team.
I'd say, Mark, you're probably onto something there with Niall. Like, he's a brilliant dead ball. And then did he score two from play as well? Like, he will score from play as well. Like, there'll probably be a mix and match from there, you know, and that Joe probably mightn't be asked to do 75 minutes anymore. Do you know?
But what I would be saying, Dale, is that I think if you're the manager of the opposing team now, you're not saying from the get-go, we have to have somebody to mark Joe Kenning anymore.
I think when you're going against Limerick,
who is the guy you have to mark for Galway now? Like, is it Conor Whelan or?
Jesus, there's a few of them, Shane, to be honest with it. I genuinely think they were a bit unlucky in last year's All-Ireland semi-final against Limerick. I think
the goalkeeper
on the day didn't have a great game, though, and he coughed up maybe 4 or 5 pints in play. And his influence isn't as massive as it used to be. If I went back 5 or 6 years ago, you'd say, Matt Joe Kenning, you'll beat Galway. I don't think that applies right now. And I think maybe Cork to a certain degree, Matt Patrick Horgan, and you're 4/5 of the way of beating Cork. I don't think that's the situation either. And I mean, Patrick had a lot of scores from frees and 65s yesterday. He got 1 point from play. But I think I'd love to see Patrick getting maybe a goal in 3 or 4 points from play. The same way as TJ Reid is doing it for. Like, he does add more to it, like, you know?
There's two lads who made their debuts in 2008, I think, as well, Mark. It's nearly 14 years ago now. It's 14 season. They're bound to start winning in a small league, aren't they? Yeah.
Absolutely.
But they looked in serious shape, didn't they? Like the Conor Cooney, TJ, you know, Niall Burke, Concannon, even young Jarlett Mannion. Jeez, the speed of him up front now. Maybe Westmead not up to that level. We might see more of him now. What they're at. But they did look... You think what they have to bring into it as well, like?
Yeah, he's a good player. He's been like very much to the front of Capitagal's challenge to win a county over the last number of years, and they've been close. Like, I think the couple of things we learned about Galway is number one is that they have a load of players. I think we know that now. There's a huge, I'd say, array there for Shane to pick from any given day. Number two is the goalie problem sorted. Is one thing that I would say. I know Ian has a good joke. We played against him a couple of times against Sammy Larkins. He's very good. But he cost him a goal at a time in the match where it could hurt him in a different game, and he nearly cost him a second goal. So that's obviously on the agenda. And the last thing for me is heading against Limerick this weekend. I thought last year that they didn't attack in the usual Galway way. And I disagree with you, Mark, there, that they nearly beat Limerick. Limerick left them in the game. I thought the second water break in the second half, Limerick went for a couple of goals. They should really have been 7 or 8. I just felt that they were 7, 8, 10 points ahead of them at that stage. I thought Galway sat back and they didn't go for it. And I think that's the big challenge for them. I think like they played Padraig Mannion kind of sweep and they had a guy sitting back there. Like, so what are you expecting, Dalo, against Limerick? Are we something similar? Or are we going to see slightly more attacking? Given what we just spoke about now, what managers think.
Yeah, I think he'll bring back maybe a few more. You could see Joe, I'd say. No, he's supposed to be in great shape, he tells us anyway, Shane O'Neill. So, but I think he'll be looking down the line, TJ. I think he'd fancy that he'll beat the winners of Antrim and Dublin. He'll be in a Leinster final. So that kind of guarantees he might if he wins Leinster. And for me at the moment, they'd look to be the favourites to win Leinster.
They would.
So he might be looking at the bigger picture now. I'd say this time last year, and obviously the COVID through everything, but like we were all feeling for Shane a bit, like going up on the back of Micheál it's a far different picture this year, I think. And I didn't feel that optimistic from last year, but I do now. I really think I'm seeing things that they're really buying into the management and saying they have faith in them and they're playing for them. I think that's the way it looks for me.
Yeah. And they got a nice, easy run yesterday, Dalo. They came away from the game yesterday with very few, I'd say very little injuries and a nice pipe opener. Easy to go back to training on Tuesday night. Fellas will be in great form. Looking forward to the challenge now of taking on Limerick at the weekend.
Although sometimes yourself in a league game, you get the odd old soft league game and then you face into some crowd that are after getting a hard one and you after 10 minutes you're saying, Jesus, this is a bit different than last week. But look, 1A, obviously, but 1B, lads, there was two straightforward games, obviously. There was Wexford to beat Laois and Clare to beat Antrim, and then the battle was Kilkenny and Dublin, and Kilkenny, in fairness, came out on top again in Parnell Park. But the other two didn't quite go at the script.
Yeah.
You've been very kind to me now, lads.
there's a great picture. Like, hey.
There's a great picture here.
See the picture of the back of the examiner there from you? You know, that's the score. That? I tell you. That's your man from Antrim yesterday.
That's two lads that jumped the wall. West Belfast. They weren't the first lads that jumped the wall in West Belfast. I heard you say on the radio yesterday, Shane, that you found it hard to get out of Belfast a couple of times.
I did. I don't think there were matches now, were they? No. I have relations up in Belfast, a place called Portlanoan, not too far from Belfast. And we went for a few nights out up there. I tell you, there's a few spots they're hard to get out of. So it's hard to get out of Belfast with a good result. And I tell you, that's Darren Gleeson would have been looking yesterday at how much people had Clare favourites to win that game. And you'd know him now, Dalo. You'd know he's from the same stock as kind of Sheedy is in the same, you know, real passionate guy. He would have made the Antrim boys fully aware that, look, we're up here now. We're here on merit. And, you know, they were by far the best team in that McDonough final last year. They were streets ahead of Kerry. They should have bet them out the gate, to be honest, in my opinion. And, you know, Darren would have said, they're coming up to our home place. And, you know, it's not a very well-known place, but anyone that's been there, no more so than Parnell, it's a hard place. You would have seen on the telly there last night. I've been there a couple of times, and, you know, the ball is going, it goes over the bar, it could end up inside in the kitchen in someone's in the estate behind the goals, like, you know. And, like, the Antrim boys would have known how to play that field, you know, better than the Clare boys would. I'd say none of the Clare boys, Dalo, had played a match above Corrigan Park in Belfast before.
Never, no.
So,
no,
you know, all these things are taken to factor. I don't think it's the end of the world for Clare. I think people who are saying it is don't really know what's going on. It was a fair journey up, playing in a place they never played, and playing against the crowd that their first game out in a league that a lot of people are saying they maybe shouldn't be in. And, like, all these things, lads, it's all human nature that you're going to be passionate, you're going to be up for it. And look, lads, look what it meant to Antrim yesterday. And if that's what they got over it, like, a bit of belief. And I was only even talking to Darren last night, and I said, fair play to you there now, and I can't wait to see you hopping off Cody next week. And he said, down to the Lions then, but we're delighted to be going there. And, like, the buzz in training this week there now for them will be unreal. But I think they love people saying this and that and the other about the Clare lads. I think it's ridiculous. I think there's a big backlash in the Clare lads coming this weekend.
Yeah, and look, it's still a hard one to take. Like, but the beauty of these hard ones to take, and sometimes the league was always 2 weeks. You'd have 2 weeks of torture, Mark, wouldn't you, after a bad one?
But like, Yeah.
But now you're back on the horse. Oh yeah, you're back for next Sunday straight away, and if you win next Sunday, it's kind of forgotten about.
But Dalo, isn't it a great way for Antrim now to be going down to play Kilkenny off the back of a good victory at home? I know it was at home and stuff, but it was a great victory for morale, like, you know. And they can go down now to Nolan Park and have a right cut off of Kilkenny. Now, who knows? They might come back with the tail between their legs, but Jesus, it couldn't be better than to be going down to Nolan Park. Like, if you were coming off a 10-point defeat at home to Clare, they'd be saying, oh, Jesus, we have the hope now. But they're going down now with a lot of optimism, a lot of confidence. Yeah. And, you know, Kilkenny, they were ruthless 7 or 8, 10 years ago. They're not as ruthless as they used to be. And remember that time when they'd go in the first 10 minutes and they'd have 4 shots of goals on you? They don't. I just hope that from an entrance perspective, they won't try that. Now, I don't think they have the players anymore that would do that as well. because we came up against some brilliant, brilliant players and saw brilliant players 8 or 10 years ago. But I think that Antrim will, they'll go with confidence, which is the most amount, and they'll have a right cut off at Kilkenny next weekend.
A couple of things. Like, I've been involved in teams, obviously playing and managing up there, right, in the north. Mm. And it is an exceptionally difficult place to go, right? One of the things that we would have had in our head, right, is you need to get ahead of these guys. We need to dictate the play. And I thought that Clare started very well. They had 9 points in the board in the opening 12 minutes.
9-3.
Yeah, 9-3. In a grand position, things were going well. I thought after that, right, that their use of the ball, especially to the two boys inside, I thought was very poor. It was aimless. Like, if you had Shanahan inside, you'd like to be peppering him all day. The goal they conceded before half-time, by any team standards, if you conceded at a club level, you'd be given out, like, right? Poor defending, then poor shot-stopping. That gave Antrim a huge fill-up, right? And the last thing I would say is, do you know about small things winning games, right? The score that Neil McManus got, right? I'm not sure what the Clare fellow was watching it. He comes down the line on 67 minutes into a gale, right? So he goes for the match is a draw. The keeper catches it under the bar, uses the ball well, and then downtowner from Neil McManus. Again, smart use of the ball.
He was down the bottom of the Falls Road.
He was downtown. So whilst it's definitely not the end of the road, right, and Clare will get a response, right, I still think, like, it's a bit like a lot of things in life, Dale. You know, when you're down and you need, like, you normally get the kick when you're down, and then when you're kind of cock of the hoop, things always go your way. So Clare, they're in a bit of a hole on the field, off the field. They need something. I don't know. Did you think the John Conlon experiment worked? I was surprised with that.
I
was down in Clonlara for a year, Dale, like, with them, yeah. And I would have never, maybe heard of them or speaking about him playing him centre back.
He did play one championship with him, Shane, before you was with him now. Sean Stack, his manager. Yeah, because they've been kind of a preliminary quarter final. Yeah. He gave an exhibition against those, but maybe then in the quarterfinal itself, he wasn't as dominant.
Are they looking at him like as a kind of a quarterback figure almost, in that they're going to allow him, they're not going to want him to push out the field and mark somebody, or they want him to sit in the pocket, and because he's such a good striker of the ball, get a better quality ball inside to the boys? Like, is that the reason they're looking at him at six? Or?
Yeah,
McInerney, I think McInerney would be really good at six, like Dave McInerney.
Yeah, he's been struggling to find a spot that he's comfortable in, David McInerney. I would say that, Shane. Yeah. Like, fullback was a long time, and then it just wasn't going to be fullback. Then it was midfield, and maybe centre-back is the spot. John Conlon, I think, could play there. I thought he actually hurled okay. If you watch it all, I thought the boys were a bit critical of him last night. I thought he hurled okay, to be honest. I thought he was nearly our best defender. Dermot Ryan played fairly well, went up and got 2 points, but in defensive wise, I thought John Conlon was probably the best of the six. I thought we were cleaned out inside, like, and Aver wasn't good in goal. Aver Quilligan, he wasn't good in goal either. One puck out, he gave away 1-1 basically, like an all-star nominee keeper. He knows himself today, he doesn't need me to be doubling down on that. But I didn't think it was a massive shock. I thought it was an awful tricky assignment. A few people here, you know, the way lads will be doing bets. Clare minus 10, and they were saying Offaly plus this, and I was going, jeez, Clare minus 10 above in Corrigan Park. And this crowd are like, I'd be great friends with the O'Kanes, you know, Gary and Gregory, and Gary's a selector with Darren, and so they'll text any pod this week, Dalo, and I said, no, we said we'd leave it till Monday, Gar, to see what the results are like. And I said, don't be too hard on Lohan. No, he's getting it hard enough. He says, we've the DUP waiting for him at the bottom of the road, and then the rest of us waiting for him at the top of the road, he said. So they were relishing this, lads, and I could smell it. Like, and then I was going up the road to get to the RT, so I'd clear a fame on the way up, and God, it was frustrating, because I don't know why they sent Sil O'Connor and Tommy Gilfile up, and they hadn't them on full live commentary. It was only bits and pieces. It was frustrating now. But they came on, and next thing, we knew Clare were playing with a good wind, 9-3, grand, like 8 or 9 points now, and a bit of experience in the second half, see it through. But once the goal went in, I just felt, I texted a couple of lads, I said, we're in huge trouble here, like, because you can imagine those Antrim lads, like, they've hardly lost a match now in a while. They're like maybe the next level down to Limerick, but they're winning, and now they're up Division 1 hurling into the Liam McCarthy, playing Dublin in the quarter. I mean, whatever about Brian Lohan, I might be more worried if I was Matty Kenny last night. Do you know? He's to face into him in a few weeks' time, the championship. I tell you, it'll be fair detail now, that match. I tell you, I wouldn't rule it out, because I know myself how Antrim wouldn't fear Dublin, like, so...
Yeah.
I think a lot... We'll know a lot more next weekend, I suppose, won't we? We'll know a lot more about Clare anyway, because, you know, I just think the players have to really stand up and perform next Sunday.
Let's talk about that for a second, Dale. That's going to be something different, isn't it? Lohan under the cash, and like the whole history of what's happening in Clare with the Fitzgeralds, Davy coming to town, Lohan needs a response. So Davy would just love to stand on his throat, I'm assuming, Saturday night. Like, this is huge.
What about Davy complaining about the fella in the stand last year in the championship that kept abusing him for the whole game?
Yes.
And
I would say, as well,
who's that?
And as well as that,
I don't know what he's going on, but will he be there again next weekend? Or what? John 3:16, the fella with the barrier.
He'd be around the best on press anyway, I'd imagine.
And for the fantasy listeners, I wouldn't be relying on team sheets for a Clare and Wexford game this weekend. As to one, will they appear? And number two, what will appear on them, Dela?
I know. Look, it's very funny, lads. We had a great man on with us there the last show, Fergal Hogan. Be good test to Fergal Hogan now next Sunday, because he's down to office yet.
Oh. So,
next Monday we can have a good chat how the referee performed. But it is the game of the weekend. I know we have Tip and
Carter, no
age old, and probably the two favourites in for the All-Ireland in Galway and Limerick. But I think the game of the weekend has to be Clare and Wexford with the whole... And like, look, everyone's on about Clare and huge trouble. Clare beat Wexford league and championship last year, so... Have Wexford come to this with more of a pint to prove? So there's a whole pile of things, lads. I think, like, if I'm a Clare player this week, if I'm a senior player, if I've played in that team for 5 or 6 years, Jesus, I have to be talking. I'd be nearly saying to Brian Lawen, Brian, can I have a chat with the players tonight, Monday night, even though we're not meeting? We might only be doing recovery tonight on our own. Can we get somewhere where I know we're not allowed to go into a dressing room, but get us a stand somewhere below in Clarecastle or below in Bearfield or Shannon, and we just talk on our own and say we need to stand up here. Because that management are doing a good job there. There's no stone being left unturned there, as best they can, under restrictions, I would say. But they're doing as good a job as they can for that team. And I would say, forget about sideshows now. Forget about other stuff. Forget about me writing columns or Gerlach Nan writing columns. Forget about that. And go out and pull that jersey out of your head next Sunday and make a stand. You know, I think that has to be done.
Dello, myself and Lavender will come down and do the stats for you. We'll help you. We can be above in the old bird's nest. We'll give you a hand. We'll get them. We'll do all the ticking for you. Can we come down?
Yeah. There'll be a lot of volunteers to get into this one.
To be bad form now, Dello, if you can't get the two of us in next weekend. Yeah.
Do you know the right job?
We're not that big, you know, like, you know.
We don't want sandwiches or anything, Mark. So we don't. We just want to see the match. So.
No. We bring her on. Bring her on.
TJ, you're not a tickets and tear man, like.
No.
I just know the right job with this one is bring it out to Tulla. You ever play Tulla?
Yeah.
We get out to Tulla. I'll tell you a good one, Mark. There, one year in the league, there. I don't know. That was. We were playing Cork and sure, that was shit hot. I was only coming on right first year or two now. I was probably 91 or two. And playing Cork in the league. And I said, geez, Cork were flying it. And we were, middling, like, you know, I was only finding his feet. Like. So next thing, all of a sudden, we heard the match was switched from Cusick Park out to Tulla. Yeah.
Oh,
and of course, I was trucking away with the old bank at the time. And so Mull was the main man in the bank anyway. And I was playing wing back. I was playing wing back the same day. I was normally corner back then, like, if I was on. And the next thing, Muller comes out. He was wearing 13 or whatever. He comes out doing him. I was nearly in awe of him. Like, but we knew each other, you know, just from the Christmas party, which were fairly famous in the bank at the time. Like,
absolutely.
Unreal. But anyway, Mull says, "Where did you get this place by?" "Where did you get this place by?" And I says, "Mull, did you not ever hear the famous Tulla?" "I did. That 70s team couldn't be beaten here. I can see why," he said, looking around. Another time we brought Dublin out there. Now, that was genuinely because Innes was flooded. But the great, late great Larry Foley, like, who famously played in both Railway Cup finals, was the Dublin hurling manager. Well, he nearly went to blows with Lynn Gaynor, and they often macked each other, Dublin and Tip, back in the 60s. He nearly went to blows with Gaynor about bringing him out to Tulla, this hellhole. He says, jeez.
Cool.
I said, I was saying to the boys, jeez, lads. And we're Clarecastle, like, and Aero Guinness and Dora Bearfield. We'd be the Innes urban area, let's say, Kilmaley being nearly west of us, right? But if we meet the likes of Fecal, Scariff, Whitegate, sometimes Six Mile Bridge or Callaghan's Mills, it'd be nearly a conspiracy theory that they're bringing us out to Tulla. Do you know? So I just, after the match, and I'd be inclined to agree with Dar Foley. I'd be saying, and these clear up, boys, if you ask, what are you saying? Like, you know, Dar Foley had a good point there about this place, lads. I tell you, know, like, but look, it's gas like that. That would be the venue of choice, I think, for next Sunday, out to Tulla. But anyway, it's one to be looking forward to, anyway. And yeah, I'd be enjoying. Yeah. Are you doing radio for that one, Shane? Volunteer for that?
No, I'm on the. Well, the last time I was there, it was a rip roaring contest, Dublin and Laois. So doing a bit of radio for that. I'm sure there's loads of footballs being kicked and everything next weekend, next Saturday, Dela. So we might.
I forgot about that coming in.
They mightn't come to us too much.
I forgot about that coming in. Jesus,
Dela, before you go away from the cat, do you think that the stuff that's happening behind the scenes in Clare at the moment, with Pat Fitzgerald and the county board, is having a potential problem with the team?
Unless I was in there, Mark, I couldn't really tell you that, but I doubt it. But sure, look, everyone in Clare is saying it is now this morning. But sure, if they're up by 15 points, the boys will be saying, them lads don't bother with that, Tony Kelly and them, they don't get involved in any of that stuff. Look, St. Dowling said it last night. It's hard to separate yourself from the noise. You know, with the world we live in now, going to work, going to whatever, sure, people are mad to say it to you and see what your reaction is. And then they're mad to be texting their friend. I met your man today, met TJ Ryan. He said things are very bad in the camp. And, do you know what? And you mightn't have said that at all, TJ. You know, and like that's the
thing. Yeah.
I don't. Look, Lohan, for me, has stayed away from talking about it and has kind of said, well, we have to concentrate on what we're at. So look, it would look like that's not going great at the moment, but you're. Sunday evening it could be going grand. I don't know. Look, but yeah, you're right, TJ. We need our backs. The problem is, I think, for us, we haven't been producing. Like, we haven't won a 20 or 21 match in 6 years, not a match, and we've lost, I think, an average by 12 points of those games. So for me, we haven't been we've been producing a few good forwards. Like, you know, Shanahar would have came out of those teams. Ryan Taylor probably came out of those teams. You're looking at a few more. Like, there's a couple coming now. The big ray light for me was that Flannan's Hearty team of last year, Shane. You know, they beat Kearns and they didn't get to finish off the All-Ireland colleges, whether they would have won it or not, but they won the Hearty back and they were all Clare lads and they look good now. Keane Galvin would have played out of doors yesterday, and so it's a tough enough old baptism for a lad like that, 19, above in Corrigan Park.
Yeah.
You know,
I think everyone forgets how young he is, though, Dale. Like, you know what I mean? He was brilliant for year 20s last year against was a poor performance by the team, but he was really good. And I think a lot of people don't realise how young he is, you know. I think he's going to be some talent for you. Because he was brilliant against those in the minor a couple of years ago down in, he kind of played that sweeper role for you, I think, if I'm right.
Yeah.
And he's so comfortable he's really on the good ball lad. And he's a great hurler.
He's a club lad of mine, like, so you know, we really hope he's coming through. But look, we'll talk about it on night, lads. But like, I think the talking has to be done next Sunday. Like,
just mentioned the under 20, Anthony. It's good to hear that there's a date has been penciled in now for the under 20 All Ireland final in the minor as well. Like, you know, so that's a massive game for Cork now. We're in the final for the third time in a row, and if Cork could get over the line to win one of those All-Irelands now, having been beaten in the previous two, it would be great for the county at this stage of the year. Like,
I think Limerick
have a good minor team, TJ.
Good minor team, yeah.
Yeah,
they are. I really, really impressed with them. They would have bet. I would have been involved with it there last year. They was after extra time to some game now, to the credit to all the young lads, 16, 17-year-olds, like Miguel Cones at the table. Adam English, for me, I know Cathal O'Neill is making the breakthrough. I think Adam English is the real deal. I think he's outstanding. I know the Leinster champions in the minor go straight through to the All-Ireland final, and Galway have a handy team. So I think they 4 or 5 of the forwards from last year even when they won it.
Yeah,
but it'll be a good test. I think it'd be a nice team, TJ.
The manager was involved in St. Thomas's, Kevin Lally. Dale was involved with the Galway.
Okay, Kevin.
And
Kevin can't lose, like. Kevin can
lose.
Can lose.
So the vibes are strong. I know that Galway have played them in a couple of times, so they think they have a nice team. But look, Shane, I'm sure you probably know better than anybody else. Minor can be strange. Like you can, on a day, players can play very well. You're looking for that bit of consistency. But yeah, Limerick probably would have been a little bit surprising the start of the year. I mean, Darren Mullins has done a great job. He's got on to the under-20s now, so yeah.
Yeah, it's a hard act for him, isn't it? You're trying to get the 20s together and trying to finish out with the minor.
It's a hard act for him, but that's just the way it was set up, and it's just, I suppose, the COVID kind of started that. The other thing Dale touched on was Deignan, in fairness, seems to have awfully moving, doesn't he? He's had three big wins. Like, he did a big fundraiser. He's got, just what you spoke about there, about the underage. He's got Lowry involved there, which is massive commercially, because when you can add a name like that to the setup, it brings in other people, and they have the underage setup, and then they just combined a big win this weekend. So the ship is definitely moving, which he'll be very happy with, I'm sure.
Yeah, and even that fundraiser they had on the canal, you know, where that was got so much publicity, and
it did.
Oh yeah, look if TJ, you get someone in there like that that's positive, you know, no baggage, would have dealt with county boards all his life as a player and a coach. And just maybe seize the downside and say, what are the lessons I took myself? What were the things I'd like to have changed? And you can't change everything, like, because there's constraints. But I mean, bringing in Shane Lowry alone, like, and you look at the management of their teams, like, you look at their management, Mick Finlay and John Mahon.
John Mahon, yeah.
Football massive. Manager, you know, in fairness.
It's massive. In fairness, Landers is calling that with a while now, Dello. He wants you to head the ship in Clare. So he's called that one a long way out.
Yeah, well, I was county manager. I don't honestly think I could ever be club chairman, never mind county board chairman. I don't. God, I struggle to go to that club AGM even. It's just, I don't know. I'd rather train the under-16s or something.
No, your county needs leadership, Dale. Your county needs leaders. You know?
Yeah, there's good lads there, like James Dean, a couple of more, Shawnee Mack. Good lads, they'll be very good. Liam Dyle, no good, sort out all them, I tell you. No, look, sure, hopefully. Go on.
Speaking of fundraisers, Dale. Okay. Yeah, there's a big fundraiser on the 24th of July in Cork this year. The Trigger O'Keefe from Mahada contacted me over the weekend just to give it a mention. You'll all have remembered Kieran O'Connor, who played cornerback for Cork, number 4. Unfortunately, Kieran didn't make it against his battle with cancer, but put up a massive, massive struggle over 3 or 4 years and died very young, and his wife and 3 kids, you know, they were married in Ballinrosig and their 3 kids were christened in Ballinrosig. But they're having a 160-kilometre cycle on the 24th of July in aid of Kieran and in aid of Marymount. So it's the Malin to Ballin is what it's called, but it's Ballinrosig for anybody who's wondering. So that's a worthy cause. The boys are cycling, and none of them have cycled since they were kids. So Trigger has told me that there's a lot of Epsom salts have been sold out locally in the last couple of weeks. There's a lot of fellas going around with red asses and big asses, I suppose. Like,
did they know? Did they know? Well done to everyone in Ahead. I hope they know, Mark, that soda cream are pulling out of Ireland. That cycling is heaven. No, well done to everybody there. Lads, first week of the Fantasy Hurling League. It's only the league, as TJ put up on the podcast WhatsApp. Shane, we'll have to add you to that. Your man is after coming in from Ballinahinch, and he's top of the table after week one, lads. And we have a graphic coming up here. Yeah.
I'm doing the Joey from Friends, kind of smelling the fart look there in my picture.
Larry, you could have gotten a picture with Mark heisting up the Liam McCarthy. We missed you a lot, like. Just low enough, like just ahead of him there. He looks last there before the first round of a championship or something. And he in dread of his shit in case Conor Lynch would get at him.
Oh, let him on. Bring him on.
In fairness, you weren't for going back anyway. But Mark, I have to say, Phil, you're going back again in the old Fantasy League.
There's only one thing very familiar with that is that Brian Hogan and myself are bringing up the tail of the team.
But you'd have to say this time around now, it looks to me now, look, it's early, like, but it looks a 3-horse race at the top, like, it's still clear.
Yeah,
like
I had a few non-runners over the weekend now, Jamie Kellen never tagged out, and Chin was a sub, so,
but sure, know,
and like, team, it's obvious sure. That the fellas at the top of the table have plenty of time in their hands, like, one fellow's a teacher, the other fellow public, and you don't open the doors till 6 o'clock, like,
Yeah, you've plenty of time to be on the internet checking out all the results. Like,
I said it to Shefflin on Saturday. Sorry, if you, mate, I'm below digging a foundation all morning for the outside drinking and Morty Browns.
You were never
in a foundation in your life, so Shefflin.
Hey, Mackie, if you're doing a handicap job on yourself here, like the horse, right? You're doing some job.
mentioning the horse.
Hi, don't go away now for a minute from the fantasy league.
Will you see?
Mark, have you any strategy to get yourself out of the mire? Like, you're on to me there about Clare now, and things are going wrong on the field and off the field. Have you any strategy to get yourself out of this shite?
Marky, don't tell him. Dello, you gave him zero help last week. I spoke to Mark before we came on air.
This is unfair.
I'm going to help him this week. Because you led him astray.
Definitely. Yeah.
I got a text about half 11. But bear in mind now, 1 o'clock is your final time for your team on Saturday. About half 11, and I blow up to my ears in muck and shit, bailing out water after all the rain below on the building side of the back of the pub. Dello, who'll be hitting the freeze for Galway? I just looked at it with contempt, to be honest. Like, if he hasn't been in at this stage, like, what's he at? Would he be looking up bloodlines about some mayor in France, like she was in Ford? She's a half sister now, out of Gorson's grandfather, out of an aunt of desert or whatever. Do you know what I like? But if you had one look at your fantasy, well, who'd be hitting the freeze there for Galway? So I said, oh, she's Niall Burke, I suppose, if Joe hadn't there. And on team anyway. And then up to watch the match in the first half and a first free for Galway. No way of a Niall to be hitting the freeze, like. Jesus, Nyland is hitting the freeze side. You might say, should I still fill out the command for Joe last year and nail 3 savage ones against Limerick? That's right, says I. when you saw the scorn.
Yeah, with Mark. A small bit of the story nicely left out there, right? He told possibly Niall Burke, right? So not only did he know Evan Nyland was taking the freeze, right? He made him captain, which got him 57 points, right?
He was granted that point, right, until then the evidence came out where he had put Evan Nyland into his own team and made him captain. So, Dello, I tell you now, you're the last fellow I'll be asking in future. You've marked my card now.
The gloves are off, I take it, after this. Well, Larry's up there again. Larry's getting good at this. Shane, have you any bit of advice for Mark on where he could try and your top straight away?
I would say try and pick lads that are actually going to go to the match anyway, first of all. Jamie Cannon won't be the limit of the
I should have known he wouldn't come off
watching the match. And Lander's sweating on him.
I said Lee Chin must have been inside the gym for the first half of the match because of the size of when I saw him coming on at half time. He was huge.
And
Martin Gatlin went to be looking for him.
With five league games in 6 weeks, right? I'll be surprised if you don't see a couple of high profile restings this weekend.
Ah, yeah.
So be careful.
More advice. You want to look at your own score now and not be giving advice to anyone.
I had four fellas who didn't play either, Mark.
You'd want to call a family meeting tonight there, TJ, to go through who's going to be dropped.
No, good and all, as I think the two experts at the top of the screen are there. You're not leading it. Am I right in saying that? There's a couple of listeners.
This is the Super League. Shane is leading that. It's just us and Larry and then myself. It's a three-off race, basically. We're going away from the peloton. You're in the peloton, Mark, actually. But there's our listeners league and Brogan. Colm Keaveney, lads, there are some scores, 265 and 264. I take it there was Antrim lads in there.
Well,
He mustn't have picked Tony Kelly at all. Like.
No, definitely not.
No,
no, no. After Carrigaline, Kilbritton, Shan Bellymore, there's 4 Cork in the top 10.
I know, which of them is nearest to Mac?
Brian Smitty there from Castlemaine, Jimmy's brother.
Yeah, he played with him or Killy, which one of the Smitty's won a championship, which are
he? Correct, Jimmy Jack. My first cousin, Diane.
In the overall league, is there anyone below Dandos now? In the overall league?
I think Colin Higgins from Clarecastle is next, though. Lads, the sponsors of the prizes for the league, Butler's Hurleys again, bang on, slap up straight away. So the gifts last year were quality. So top class Hurleys down in Kilkenny there. So
Is that the one with the maroon on it?
And as you see in front of us, Goto t-shirt, when the weather warms up. Too old, too slow, too four. It's the one and only Donny Ryan. They will be stocked when Marty Brown's reopened. When Marty Brown's reopens, I'll be stocking all sizes, shapes, and everything in the too old, too slow, 2-4.
And if you stay for the weekend, you get a free t-shirt, Dello, is it?
Well, Donny drives. You'll be okay.
Donny drives, forget.
Put the pennies down for a box, Dello.
Oh, a box. Yeah. Well, if you don't buy him, you'll take him. Like.
No matter.
Great stuff, lads. Brilliant stuff. We got on a bit there, Larry. Sorry. You won't have any editing to do when you were very gentle this week. Lads, I can't go. Yeah. Mark the Queen. The Queen is out, is she?
She's out by... Well, what do you mean by out now? Out not running or out? She's out running.
She's off. That's what I mean. She's running on Wednesday, is she?
Well, no.
And she's off for her life again. That's all we want to know.
Since the last I met you, all right, Dundalk sent me down this. And I know you said yes. I never got an All-Star, but... Here's the closest thing I ever got to an All-Star, right? I think you got for there.
Landers.
So the voice of the dog sent me there after she winning the Champions weekend there 2 weekends ago.
Landers, no one knew. You give a shite about the trophy. You just watch you on and the prize money is all you're concerned about.
Sorry, I missed all that there. You know?
Watch you on and the prize money is all you were concerned about, not the trophy.
Which was a lovely little surprise to get now, I must say. Fair play to Dundalk Racecourse. But
she's out this Wednesday.
Yeah, she's out there Wednesday. And we went to see her work there on Jimmy Mangan's on Sunday morning. She didn't work great now, so we had to get the vet to scope her this morning. And she scoped clean. So we're going to have a go anyway. But if you asked me yesterday morning, I said she wouldn't have run. But she's going to have a cut now. She's going to take her place. And we're hopeful. And we Joy Sheridan back in the plate. She got £3. TJ, the resident handicapper on the podcast. What do you think for a half a length victory the last day?
Yeah, she was probably a bit of value for it, Mackie. I think she could have won by a little bit more. And Joy Sheridan claims 5 as well, right? So off to 57 with Joy claiming 5. If the handbrake is off, right? I'd say she'll be very close.
Yeah, well, it's whether she's fully tuned up or not now. Like, you know, she didn't work great now on Sunday. So I'm a bit concerned myself. So I had a chat with the trainer this morning and I said, look, I was listening to the Shaq Hanlon there about Sky Ace a couple of weeks ago.
He said she was a certainty.
He said, remember he said he gave her a good blow the day before the race in Fairy House. So
yes.
I said, Ken, do you know what? Give her a blow tomorrow and see how she reacts. And if she's... if she comes through that, we might have a cut now on Wednesday evening around 7 o'clock.
And then we want to talk about horses anyway, lads.
Oh, Shane, you want to know your stuff here on this thing. I used to fancy myself when they started listening to the two of them.
No, I'd have to brush up on the horse stuff also, really.
Yeah. The queen. She's a darling of the podcast, like, do you know what I mean?
Good stuff.
A lot of the listeners back are blind and they've lost their shirt, but they got a few pounds back to Leicester.
Job.
Well, now 7-4 is the first, and 9-6 is the last. That wasn't too bad, like them. And I didn't see any of it coming my way, Dale. I don't know, just to let you know, like.
You go away, will you? You're lucky I didn't drive
down.
There'll be a
free night in Marty Browns. You're
lucky I didn't drive down to Killa after the first one.
I know. Jesus,
only for the county lock-in was in, you were in big trouble. But come here. I wouldn't worry too much about her not going well in the gallop there, because Jodine often told me you were useless on the Tuesday night for a county final and you turned up on the Sunday, kid. So don't worry about that.
It's all about the day. Just
before we go, lads, I have to give a mention. Got a text yesterday morning. There's a lot of people in Clare, but more especially in my club, Kirkcastle, one of the greatest ever magpies, John Henley, our mentor, our teacher, or coach, he was just everything to Kirkcastle GAA. Passed away yesterday morning. He was actually inside in Carcala nursing home. My mother's there as well, so I used to meet him there occasionally. So he's just, he'll be a huge loss to us all, because he was just so fundamental to Kirkcastle hurling right through since he played with my father in the 49 final, and coach or local principal all his life, passed away. So condolences to that, the Hanley family. But what a life well lived, and what a man. And we've all come across these type of people, as haven't we? The king of the village, really, like, you know. So we'll bury him during the week, and he'd be buried decent. Obviously, we did consider the restrictions and all that. So just to, I suppose, finish on a poignant note, that's great to be back, Hornin, lads. Great to have you, Shane. Great to have you. We'll be knocking you off the top of that league. We'll be knocking you off the top of that league very soon. I'll be doing a bit of studying myself later on. So great stuff, lads, as always. And we'll talk to you all next week. Cheers.
Sound, lads. Thanks, lads. All the best, lads.
Cheers, Shane.
Supporting all 32 counties through the Alliance Leagues.
A grain of rice, a grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
But come on,
Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Or missing was the show.
Then we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.